Good morning. I had a whole sermon prepared, but I can't do it. It's a good one, too. It was about mirrors and how you see yourself in God. But Pastor Keith mentioned brokenness. And how many are broken? How many of us are truly broken? And there was a time in my life whenever I was broken. Some of you may feel like you've hit the bottom. You may feel like there's nowhere to go but up. And that's when God can totally rework your life. The things that we go through are temporary. Yet, some of us feel like we are completely buried. But we're not. People wrong us. People do things to us. They cause us to walk away from church. They cause us to walk away from God. But people is not where our focus should be. Thank God I turned 50 years old this year. I'm not there yet, but I will be. And thank God I'm at the point in my life where I don't care what you think of me. If you think I'm the worst person in the world, because I know I'm not. I don't care if you think whatever about me. God is the only person that should matter in your life, period. There's a period on the end of that. When you said brokenness, I thought about, and I mentioned this before, but reclaimed furniture. You take a piece of old, beat up, dirty looking, it's stained, it's marred, it's trash. And you take it and you strip it down to its bare wood. You strip it down to where there's nothing, and you have a piece of wood. It's still a piece of furniture, but it's still just wood. And then you stain it, and you make it pretty. You line the drawers, do whatever you want to do with it, and it becomes a beautiful piece of furniture, a piece of work, a piece of art. And that's like our lives with God. He strips us down, and he takes those broken places in our lives, and he cleans us up, but then he starts to paint something beautiful. New handles on us, new decorations. He makes us new. And we're a beautiful piece of work. We're a masterpiece to him. And if you allow God to do that, he will totally transform your life. He will get you from that pit to a mountaintop. And he'll cause things in your life to be that you never knew could happen. You won't even recognize who you are because God is that awesome. And he can take you and he can make something so beautiful and make you smell so good because you're walking in him. But those broken places, you learn from those broken places. You don't go back to those broken places. And sometimes it's hard because that's what we know. That's all we know. And we're afraid of the new. But God can totally transform us into new and let us be who we are in him. Not sarcastic, not bitter, not angry, but loving and caring and somebody people want to be around. But if you feel broken today, know that when you set foot in the presence of the Almighty God, he will change you. He will clean you up. He'll make you shiny and he'll make you pretty for his glory. But we can't do it alone. We have to have Him. We have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit. And if we don't do that, then you know what? We're going to fall back into those old patterns. We're going to, you know, fall back into what we know. And what we know don't work. But with God, it works. And it may seem absolutely crazy how He goes about it. You may think, God, you are crazy. I think that all the time. He's crazy about us. He loves us. And He meets us right where we are. We don't have to clean up. We don't have to repent and be something that we're not. Now, do you have to ask Him into your heart? Yes. But we don't have to clean up for Him. He knows exactly where we are. He knows how we got there. Even if we don't want to admit that it's our fault. He knows how we got there, and He knows how to pull us out. And if you have a better way, then you know what? More power to you. But I couldn't do it, no matter how hard I tried. I filled my life with certain things, people. I was a people pleaser, and I am still to some degree. I work on that. But I try to fill those voids, and those voids cannot be filled but with anything but the Almighty God. And you'll waste your time. You'll waste 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life seeking after something that is totally not going to fill you. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be, you know, sex, whether it be people, whatever it is. It's never going to give you the peace that God can give you. And if you think that it will, you're fooling yourself. It's that simple. I don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying, but God just wanted me to say it. But if you feel like you are at the bottom, and you feel like, you know what, I'm just going through hell. Guess what? Guess what will get you out of that hell? It's the loving arms of our Father. He will be your peace. He will be your comfort. He'll be your guide. He will be your helpmate. And He will allow you to see things in yourself and other people that you never thought could happen. I just see a lot of people broken. And a lot of people are going through stuff. And they're hurting people. And you don't know where to go. The first thing is to say, you know what? God, I need help. Help me. Do you know that He's like rushing? He's wanting to help you? He's just needing you to say, I screwed up. Help. And that was my prayer for a long time. Lord, it's me. Screwed up again. Help. And He always met me where I was. I never had to be something that I wasn't to make Him love me more. He loved me whenever I was at the bottom. He loved me when I didn't love myself. He's an amazing God. He will do amazing things in your life. When you give it to Him, He can't help but do amazing things with you. It takes faith, and it takes running toward Him, and it takes walking with Him. But if you're looking for peace, He'll give you peace. If you're looking for understanding, He'll give you understanding. He is it. Nothing more, nothing less. He's the ultimate, and He'll walk you through it. I had a whole sermon prepared, and maybe you'll get it one day. I don't know. But I just felt like God really just wants to meet people where they are. And don't be afraid of Him. Because the devil wants you to be afraid of Him. The devil wants you to think that he's this big pie in the sky person who is untouchable, and he's not. He died for you. He's got the scars to prove it. I was laying in bed this morning and I thought about scars. You know, I have a scar on my leg where I jumped on the back of a truck and fell over. I was a kid. Fell over a power saw and it cut me. And I still have that reminder. I look at that and it takes me right back to that day. I have a scar right here that reminds me not to get on a motorcycle with an idiot. Don't ever do that. But I look at that scar and it takes me right back to that day. I have a scar on the top of my head that when I was a kid, my mother was telling me, do not jump on the cabinet on top of the cabinet and get food out of there. So she was on the phone and I jumped on top of the cabinet and got food. But I hit my head and I still have a little place here and I can feel it. And I go right back to that day. Imagine Jesus and his scars. And every time you think of that, be reminded of what he did. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He paid the ultimate price that we could live and that we could walk in fullness and hope and love in him. So when you see a scar, does it not take you back to where that happened? It does me every time. So imagine that. When you see the scars, just be reminded of what he did. And that he loves you. And if you had been the only one, me and all my unworthiness, craziness, and whatever, he would have died for just me. And he would have done the same for you. Be reminded that you are more than just someone to him. You are his child. He loves you. And he wants the best for you. And he cares what happens to you.
We'll have you come back later. In Luke chapter 15, there's a story, and it's about the prodigal son. I preached a message on that years ago. It's one of my favorite stories because many of you have heard that growing up, that the prodigal son went off and squandered his money and then came back, and it's a great story. But if you really get into what it says and really understand to what took place, it's such a picture of our Father in us. You see, he was very prominent. He was a king. He had people who worked for him. He had servants. He was filled with aristocrat knowledge and blood and all the clothes and the garb and the ring and everything. And everyone in that city knew who he was. So when his son said, I want my half of the inheritance, what he was telling the father was, I want you dead. Because the only way you would get that inheritance was when the father passed away. So he said, Father, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance. The father's heart was broken, but the father did something that most fathers would not have done. He gave the son the inheritance. And somehow I know that father knew that our father would get a hold of his son. He could have said, no, you stay here. These are the laws. You know how it works. You stay here. But our father knew. He knew that our father would get a hold of that son. So that son goes, and you know the story. He squandered the inheritance. He even got to the point to where, now he's a good Jew. He got to the point to where he was feeding and tending pigs. Might not sound like a big thing to us, some of you in South Georgia or Alabama, Mississippi. Might have been around pigs. Now, of course, I'm from New Orleans, and I was like 12 years old when I realized chickens don't fly. But the pig was very unclean in the Jewish culture, so for him to tend to the pigs was a huge thing, because he was basically attending to the thing that was such an abomination to God. To the point to where he was eating the food of the pigs. So picture it, this son who was from this father is now in the pens eating the food of the pigs. Have you been there? I mean, folks, we have a God who is the King of the universe. And in our brokenness and in our rebellion, we go and we act ridiculous and go and we start eating the same food that's meant for pigs instead of the food that's meant for a king or the family of a king. But then this is my favorite part of that story, because it says, and then he came to his senses, giving a picture of smelling salts underneath the nose. You ever seen someone in the stupor and then they put that in their nose and they like wake up? He was in a spiritual stupor, but the Holy Spirit just said, wake up, spirit. Spirit man, wake up. And all of a sudden he says that son said, wait a minute. What am I doing here in the midst of all of this slop and eating it? I have a father who loves me. I will go to him and even beg him to make me a hired servant. Not a son, just beg me to make a hired servant. And I know my father. I hope he'll do that. The story goes on and it talks about him walking back to the father. And it says, in the distance, the father saw his son. Don't really mean a lot to us maybe today if we don't understand the fact that those cities had walls to protect them. So this means that every day that father was walking on that wall looking for his son, is today the day? Is today the day that he's coming back home? Is today the day that my son will return? God does the same thing. Is this the day you're going to forget about all those things that have held you back and all those broken areas in your life and just run to me? It says, so in a distance, the son sees him. But this is my favorite part. Instead of the son running, it says, and the father began to run to his son. It was such a humiliation for a king and a man to pick up his kingly robes and run. But that's exactly what he did. And he ran right to his son. And it says he threw his arms around his son and kissed him. That's a picture of a heavenly father. There's not a thing you could do in your life to make him not want to throw his arms around you and kiss you. There's a story that I've heard in the past of a man from Thailand. His name was Kanuk. He grew up in a Christian home. His father was a priest and a minister in the church. It was a Methodist church, and he grew up. How many of you growing up in church? How many of you are preacher's kids or deacon's kids or some of that? So, really? So you know what goes along with that. There's pressure to live a certain way into, and then when you face the gay thing, that's a huge thing, right? And a lot of you have faced that. But this Kanuk, he was in Thailand in a small city outside of Bangkok, maybe about 60 miles away, growing up on the farm. And his father was prominent in that community because he was a pastor and he had a church where a lot of people went to in the community. And Kanuk said, I don't want any more of this. I want to experience the big life. I want to experience life, not this stuff. And as a teenager, he left his father and went to Bangkok. Bangkok, with the lights and the life and the drugs and the prostitution and all those things that were so alluring for a young man. And he went. He began to get involved in the drugs. He began not only to take them, but to begin to sell them. He actually began to get involved in prostitution as far as he was a pimping out young girls to men. And Kanuk crossed a line with one of his rivals, and they put a contract out on his life. He knew he was in trouble. It says that he left all of his home and his wealth and he began to hide in alleys and areas where he knew he would be safe, that those who were after him would not be able to kill him. And it says the same thing. One day he said, God, I need your help. And that's when the smelling salt was put underneath his nose. He said, wait a minute, I have a father who I think still loves me. I'm going to write him. So he wrote his father and he said, Father, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be traveling back home. And I'm sorry for what I did. But I'm so ashamed and I'm going to ask you to do one thing. In front of that tree, in front of our house, will you please tie a white ribbon on the top of that tree? When I see it, I'll know when the train is passing by that you do forgive me. So Canuck made his plans. He got his ticket. He got all of his belongings and he put it all on that train and began to head back home toward his father. As he was getting closer, he was getting more anxious. What if he doesn't love me? What if he doesn't accept this? What am I going to do then? And he's making these plans and he began to talk to a man next to him. And he said, will you please do me a favor? Around that bend coming up is my father's house. Will you please tell me when we pass by if you see a white ribbon tied around the top of that tree? The man said, sure, son, I'll look. So as he made that bend around that curve, he closed his eyes and turned toward that man. He said, do you see a white ribbon on the top of that tree? The man said, son, I don't see a ribbon on the top of that tree. His heart sank. He said, well, I guess it's over. I deserve this. I deserved it. I just thought maybe he would take me back. He says, but what I do see is 100 white ribbons on the tree and an old man at the top waving a white flag on the top of the tree. God is waving that flag for you. There's not a thing you could do to keep him from loving you. There's not a thing you could do to keep him away from you. He runs to you every single day because he is that father. You may say, this message spoke to me in a way that you don't know. We don't know what you're going through, but we definitely know God does. And if you want prayer, we're going to open up the prayer. The elders, the pastors will come forward. Meet God today.